That's it. That is an amen song, isn't it? Let's stand together and sing "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Your diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him, O majesty ascribe and
crown. All right, we'll pray and get started. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good you are. How wonderful you have been to all of us. We have a sick list that people call in for prayer. You know what it is. We bring it before you daily. And if you would be those people, and it's your choice whether you heal them or take them home, that's not our business. We just ask you, if you will, as the master physician, please touch them. It's kind of selfish because we're really doing it for our benefit. We don't want to lose anybody. And we forget you can't lose something if you know where it is. And the good Christian people we have that leave out of here by means of physical death don't even die. They're absent from the body and present with the Lord. And we just need to keep things in mind that will keep our spirits up, because we've already won. So thank you that you are our master, that you are our king, and you are our God, and you've already taken care of things in our lives. All we have to do is live for you, and then we get to be with you forever. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. So the blood of the Lamb, if you will, you'll find out the blood sacrifice, the liberals came from Germany in the 40s. And they began coming to America and teaching in the seminaries over here because for some reason people get all caught up in themselves. There's a saying going around in the last 10 years, people say, get over yourself. And I'm sure you've heard people say that. And that, those theologians should do that. They're highly rated on the intellectual scale, and I admit that. And that's to be done and wonderful if you've been gifted mentally like that. But when you start questioning the Lord Jesus Christ, you're out of bounds. You have left the game because you aren't fit to question him on anything. So we find out that the sacrifice of the blood is all through the Bible, and you'll see it change from just an animal to a man in just a few minutes. But it starts in Genesis 4:3-7 tells you about the sacrifices God required of Cain and Abel, the offerings. Now, one of them brought a good offering, but it was fruits and vegetables and things he had grown in the garden. And I'm sure they had 8 feet of topsoil then. And I mean, he brought a beautiful offering. And wasn't anything wrong with that offering he bought. The only thing wrong with it was is God told him to bring blood, not to bring the work of his hands. And his brother brought blood. They had to kill a little lamb to get the sacrifice offered right, and that was a picture. It was typical, we call it a type, of the offerings given, and the only perfect sacrifice could ever be given for sin wasn't the blood of an animal, because the blood of an animal can't forgive sins. The Bible is very clear about that. Through that whole time, people would kill oxen and whatever you could afford. You'd bring a lamb to the time of slaying of the lamb, or the people who didn't have much money would buy 2 turtle doves and bring them. The really poor people would catch 2 sparrows and bring them. Because you could catch a sparrow for free and a little bitty bird. You know what a sparrow is. And for 2 cents, you could buy a half a dozen of them. So it wasn't much of a sacrifice, but it's all they could afford. But the key to the sacrifice was to obey what God had said. Not just bring a sacrifice you want to bring, but to bring one that he had told you to do. So it starts off in Genesis. The obedience to what God said and obedience to his word is the key thing to do in Christianity, because that was picturing later on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And Genesis 22, you get to the story of Abraham. Abraham is probably the most famous written about religious figure in history. Most people would say Jesus was, but he isn't. Abraham is revered by the Muslims, the Jews, and Christians. Father Abraham, they all like Abraham. He was the daddy. And so Abraham was faithful to God in so many ways. God wanted to show him that he was his provider. And he did it in a way we would never think of, but Abraham didn't really understand this, but he was so obedient to God, he was willing to sacrifice his own son. And his only son, sound familiar? That's what God did, didn't he? So they were going, Abraham gets the guys together, two of them, the Bible said, plus his son Isaac, who they figured was around 17, 18 years of old. And they're going over to Mount Moriah and walking along to have a sacrifice, a religious thing. Abraham knew of that, knew to do it. The two people with him knew it had it read. Do you think Isaac didn't know where they were going? They were going to make a sacrifice to God. Now, Isaac wasn't the brightest teenager in that part of the country. Because as they got down the road, he said, Dad, I noticed we got the fire here. They'd carry a pot and it'd be burning inside so they'd have fire when they got there. Because you got to light another fire to burn the sacrifice. And he said, I notice we got wood. I'm carrying the wood on my back. I notice you got about a 15-inch scabbard knife there. Where's the sacrifice? And all of a sudden he understands there's no sacrifice there with him. Abraham didn't look at him and said, son, I hate to tell you this. don't make you nervous, but you're it. Abraham just said, God will provide. And the lesson of Abraham going to offer his only son, Isaac, as a blood sacrifice to God was that God's provision will always be there. Sometimes we all forget that, don't we? That God will provide. I don't know what you say for your blessing of your food. You don't have to give a sermon every time you have a meal. I've had food get cold in front of me because somebody wanted to impress the preacher with their praying for the pork chop. And I said, man, you know, just let it go. Thank God and let's eat. And here's Isaac, and he's going to pray, and no doubt he's saying, Lord, I know you've provided everything I have ever needed. I think he invited silent prayer. He didn't want Isaac to hear this. And today you have asked me to sacrifice my only son. And I'm going to do it because you said to, and I believe what you said so much that I'm going to sacrifice the son just as you said for me to do. Where do you think he got that confidence? It'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? See, wouldn't any of us here say, look, I've lived my life, let my son live, let him sacrifice me. If you just want some blood, you just want somebody killed, take me. We all would do that. On some days, you'd say, take me instead of my wife. And not all the time, some day. So here he is, waiting for God's provision. How did he know the provision was going to come? He knew because God had told him, I'm going to make you a great man. Multitudes are going to be born in your lineage. Nations, millions of people. God had made that promise to Abraham. Now, if you're going to have a long lineage, you can't kill your only son, because the lineage stops right there. And he was getting a little old to be trying to have another kid. God could have done it, but that's not the way he wanted it. So Abraham knew. He said, I'm going to sacrifice my son. I'm going to be obedient to God, because I don't know how, and I don't know what form this will take, but God will either let me take his life and then resurrect him, or he's going to do something where I don't have to kill my son, because he's already promised me to be the father of millions of people. And he's not going back on his word. So by faith, I'm going to step forward and kill my only son and leave it in the hands of God. That's what we're supposed to do. And I noticed all the political candidates are saying, well, I just don't see a pathway to the presidency. All of them are using that term. I've heard it several times this month, and I'm sure you have. But Abraham couldn't see any path to saving his son from what was about to take place. So they build the little altar, and they put the wood under it to set the fire, and then they tie the kid up, hands and feet, and he understands he's going to be the sacrifice. And Isaac is, you got to be sweating. This is getting late in the game, isn't it? Your kid's laying there. He's on the altar. It's about to happen. The only thing to do now is put the knife in his chest. That's getting close. And so Abraham's got to be nervous, even though he has faith in God. And we do too. This is the message we have out of this, is sometimes we can't see a path to the problems we have. The business is bad, the food is bad, your wife's bad, your dog will bite you. And everything goes wrong. Sometimes it all happens in the same week. You ever been there? I visited that land before. And here he is, and he's got the knife raised. All he's got to do is come down right in the middle of his chest, and it's over. And he hears something in the bushes. Yeah. And it's a ram. And God has made provision for the ram to be there at that time and to make that noise so Abraham can say, can we use him? And God said, be fine. So God provided a ram, which was a lamb at one time, was he not? And provided that to save Abraham's son. So Abraham knew now, I am on the right team. And something big has happened in every life here. I don't know what it is. That God pulled you through. And yet sometimes we worry if he will or won't. Don't we? Well, I just wonder, you don't have to wonder about God. He said he'd provide for you, protect you, and lead you and guide you. That's all you need to know. It's so funny, you can tell people, well, are you going to heaven when you die? And they'll say, I hope so. I'll say, where is it? I don't know. What's it look like? I don't know. Who's there? I don't know. Well, you got this faith that you're going to heaven and you don't seem to know anything about it. God told us enough about heaven. He'll be there. And you live in his presence forever. Most people and most Christians, we won't ask for a show of hands because a lot of you think this. And it's all right because we've heard it from different pulpits all our life that you die and Christians immediately go to heaven, and that's true. But about 85% of the Christians in the churches today think you stay there. That you go to heaven and you live in heaven for eternity. Have you ever heard that preached before? Okay. Well, that's true in a way. You'll be in heaven because that's where God lives, and he's going to bring heaven down here. Now, whether it lands or not, of course, in America, they got it landing in Texas. But Christianity isn't just about America. And there's two views on that. One is one I prefer, because heaven, the dimensions of it are given in Revelation, about 1,500 mile cube. 1,500 miles. That's here to Texas, middle of Texas, half the United States. It's from Florida to Canada. This is a big city. And we're not going to stay up there in the sky, as they would have you believe. It's coming here. How wonderful it is. Whether it will float or whether it will land, I don't care as long as I'm in it. And we stay in heaven, in God's presence, forever. He's going to have a new heavens and a new earth. Where is he going to put us while that's been done? Got to go somewhere. Evidently, we get in the cube and go somewhere. A lot of things he doesn't tell us, but he tells us the main things. And he told Abraham, I'm going to make you father of a multitude. As a matter of fact, that's what his name meant. But you got to kill your only son. He didn't bother to explain to Abraham the things we've explained to you this morning. Abraham said, fine, let's do it. Whatever it is, fine. Let's do it. If God leads you to do something and you know it's the leading of God and you live in right for God, do it. Don't worry about it. Just do it. Okay. I asked my daddy one time, I said, how do you know what school to go to? How do you know what to do? He said, God opens and shuts doors. You just keep walking. If he shuts the door, you can't go in there. Move. He'll open another one, and you go through it till you have to stop. Then you move again. You see, he guides us. We forget God is our loving Father. He wants the best for you. Doesn't mean you're going to be a millionaire here. $1 million in heaven will get you on the street team. You can help pave the streets out of that. Gold only counts here. So we're finding out if we will trust God, he'll provide, won't he? Then we get to Exodus 12, and God orders his people to slay a lamb. You know, they're taking the Jews, they're on the Exodus. Some different numbers, some say 3 million, some say more. And they're going to take them, and he said, now, the death angel is coming. And you slay a lamb, animal, and you take the blood of that animal and you put it over the doorpost, over your door, right in the middle, and you put it on the door going down this way, and you put it on the door going that way. Look familiar? He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the death angel comes, and the firstborn of everybody who didn't have the blood of the lamb on their door died. Gone. And you say, isn't that cruel? God isn't cruel. He's decisive in what he has to do. He's wiped out two or three nations at once, if you read your Old Testament. I mean, there's some bad news visits from God before Jesus was born here. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is generally Jesus. I'll be glad to show you where one night he killed 185,000 Syrians. I've been praying that he'd get over here again. Right? You say, well, why would a loving God kill a bunch of people? Well, they had become so sinful, the children were being born with no eyes, one leg. I mean, total, what is that medicine they had going around the country years ago? What was that? You remember? It doesn't matter. But, they had it, and it was causing deformities. They had to look into it because all these children were being born with deformities. And they looked into it, and they finally took it off the market. Nobody could get it. But God said, if I don't do something and just take care of the good ones and start another line, they're going to wipe out humanity. They're gone. That's what sin does. You see, sin today is connected to having a good time. People come down here chiefly to sin. That's what they come to the beach for. Chiefly to sin. It's a wonder we get anybody down here on vacation, SOS and all that stuff. They're not down here to come to church. They're not down here to hear the gospel. Most of your mainline churches, you'll not hear anybody preach on hell. They won't even preach on heaven. They'll say nothing that isn't politically correct because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You better read that book and find out God will hurt more than your feelings. Okay. Well, who's hateful? No, he isn't. He's just set up a program and you can either follow it or deal with what not following it brings. That's all. It's a choice. He gave you free will. In or out, up and down, heaven, hell, pick one. How hard can it be? And mankind still can't get it straight. Watch every ad you see on TV this week, not counting the political ones. All the advertisement for stuff for sale, and watch how much of it is directly related to sex. And you'll find out about 90% of it has a sexual content in it, right? They had a Pontiac ad several years ago with a couple of naked girls on the hood. And I got to wondering what it was they were selling after about 30 seconds. Didn't have much to do with the Pontiac. I said, you get the Pontiac, you get one of them? All right. Somebody said, who you going to vote for? I said, Trump's wife. I mean, if you want to negotiate her, I'd vote for her. She can get by whatever she wants in this world. Okay? Well, that's the way we think, isn't it? The way we think. So we find out that God ordered his people to slay a lamb, and because of the protection he gave, because of the blood of the lamb, the ones that had to blow the blood on the door didn't die. And the provision is there too. Well, I don't see the provision. Well, how do you think they made the golden calf when they got out in the desert and got to sinning again? Where did the gold come from? God provided it. He aggravated the Herod. He aggravated the king so bad that the king ordered the people to give the Jews their gold rings. They had nose rings. A few of you fellas got them today. And earrings. All their gold they gave to the Jews if they'd just leave town. He'd put those 10 plagues on them. They didn't want any more. That's where the golden calf came from. Where'd you think it came from? Golden calf store? We read things that in the Bible and we don't even think where they came from, do we? Wonder where they got to go. Moses up talking to God and they down with Elvis singing and jiving and building a golden calf to worship. That'll get you somewhere. I mean, how does mankind get so stupid that he thinks worshiping an idol will pay for his sins? How could you be so dumb when something that's dead can help you? I'll get it wrong, Jehovah's Witnesses or one of those other groups like them, a Christian Scientist, I think it was, the old lady died. Well, they don't believe in death. In fact, they don't even believe they're here. I don't know how they knew she was here if nobody's supposed to be here, but that's their problem. They didn't just bury her. They dressed her up in finery and set her on the couch and had a big party, and everybody came by, and the idiots would get on the couch with her and talk to her. I mean, how long did it take you to figure out she was dead? She ain't going to answer you. She's gone. It's over. She can't do anything for you, dead or alive, because there was no blood shed on her part. She had no authority to forgive sin. I have trouble with my Catholic brethren. There's a lot of good Catholic Christians. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe in the atonement. They believe in the resurrection. They believe he's coming again. Even some of them, right, Jack Van Impe, believe in the rapture. You got to understand, Catholicism isn't just one teaching. It's just like the Gentiles, the denominations, Matthew, you know, the Methodists and Episcopalian, they're different divisions. They all don't think alike. But I just wonder, plain Christians, I'm an ignorant man. I'm just a fell off the okra truck not long ago, but I do know a few things. And I do know if Leroy is in high school and he's a real contender for cut up of the year, all, you know, he's trying to drink all the Budweiser and run around with all the girls and do all the I mean, this guy's rotten. Then he decides he wants to be a priest, and he goes to school with them, and all of a sudden this idiot can forgive sins. Do you really believe that? Of course he can't forgive sins. Yeah. They got a good grip on you when you get in that box and tell them your sins, don't they? Okay. So God has ordered the people to slay a lamb. Now we've got the blood of the lamb. Leviticus tells you that lamb, that sacrifice, Leviticus 22:21, 20 times in there it says that lamb has to be without blemish. And when the Jews had a sacrificial lamb that was going to be sacrificed, they kept him penned up for a number of weeks to make sure he was perfect. They do that with the red heifer. They're getting ready to have the Jewish temple rebuilt again, as you know. And they're going to go back to having animal sacrifices. And part of that is they have to sacrifice a red heifer. Now, a red heifer can't have one white hair on him. They hadn't found one for years. There just weren't any red heifers. And a few years back, you may remember when they announced they found a red heifer. And boy, the Jews were really happy. They guard that red heifer more than we guard Fort Knox, I promise you. And the red heifer was not that fat red-headed lady at Harold's last night. The red heifer was a cow. Okay. Cow's name was Daisy. I don't know if Daisy's still alive or not, or if they've made sure that she could have red heifers down. I don't know what it is, but I've heard no announcement that they didn't have a red heifer now. So they've done something to protect that. They had to have that. 20 times God told them in Leviticus, it has to be a perfect sacrifice, a lamb without blemish. We get to the only one who can sacrifice blood and cover the sins of mankind. All of them had to be a perfect man without sin. We only know of one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the sinless Lamb of God, was he not? Of course. And so he shed his blood, and the only way for you to get to heaven is through the blood of the Lamb. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The German theologians, as we mentioned a while ago, came to our country and they said, "We want nothing to do with your bloody Old Testament." Now these are the PhDs and the high theologians, and on the IQ test, they're off the chart. But you see, you don't understand the Bible by your IQ. You understand the Bible by being a born-again, blood-washed son of the living God, and he will teach you the Bible as you read it. That's the benefit of your reading the Bible every day. You won't read it one day that you don't learn something new. My dad had studied the Bible 14 hours a day. I'd stop by and say, "What are you doing, Dad?" "Well, just studying." I said, "Okay, come on, let's go to lunch." And he said, "Okay." And we'd go eat lunch, and there wasn't no long conversation. I might not have seen him for 6 months. As soon as we got through eating, he'd say, "Is that it?" "Oh, well, yeah. I got to get back to studying." I said, "Are you still learning?" He said, "I don't pick up that book. I've never picked up that book that I didn't learn something out of it. It's unending. Doesn't end." More information in there. One famous preacher said, "There's never been a preacher alive other than the Lord Jesus Christ who is qualified to preach on John 3:16. The most famous Bible verse everybody knows, "For God so loved the world, he was his only begotten Son." He said, "You can expound that verse of Scripture till you die and still not tell it all. It's such a wondrous thing." I think about it during football season. I see these huge stadiums, and they have 104,000 people at this game and 110,000. And boy, you've seen them. Those big bowls and cars everywhere and people everywhere. And you look at that, and you know that's not the only game, that there's 20 teams or whatever, and stadiums, 20 of them or more, full of the same number of people at the same time of day. Playing football. And you begin to look at the numbers, and I do, and I say, and I can't imagine what the lost man says, but I'll look at those numbers and say, can one man die and pay for the sins of just all the people watching the football games? Let alone for the sins of the entire world, past, present, and future. So when we talk about the blood of the Lamb, stop and think about it a while. The power of the blood, we sing that. That's why I like the old hymns. The old hymns sing, they preach doctrine. Washed in the blood, right? And the new people, they don't want that because that's not politically correct. Blah, 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 blah. Well, we'll see how you like it when you get to hell. Then you'll understand the power of the blood. Then you'll understand whose blood was shed. It was the blood of the Lord God Almighty. Well, where did God get any blood? He's a spirit. He is a spirit. You mean he has blood? No, I just told you he was a spirit. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. That's his name. He doesn't have any blood. So where did God get any blood to shed? Through his only begotten Son, through the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world, through the shedding of his blood. Think of the power. I mean, think of the power that the blood of one individual is a sacrifice good enough for God the Father to accept on behalf of any sinner of any degree at any time and anywhere. Think about it. I mean, it is mind-boggling to read the Bible. And the more you'll start reading it, if you will, the more you'll get out of it. And the more you'll stand in amazement. Do you really believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale? The Bible never said he was swallowed by a whale. It said he was swallowed by a great fish. And you believe that? Did God say it? Well, it is in there. Did Jesus verify it? Yeah, I believe it. And had it said inside the whale, they found shag carpet, two color TVs, and a lazy boy. I'd have believed that too. Why? Because Jesus Christ said, this is the Word of God. You know the verses, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And just, P-head, who are you to correct God? Just how brilliant do you think you've become? Wouldn't think much, would you? I'm loud, get excited, start preaching. Only Christ has the power of His blood to forgive the sins of mankind, and aren't you glad? Because He knows your sins and doesn't remember them anymore. I was reading last night, woke up 1:30, 2 o'clock, whatever it was, and couldn't go back to sleep, so I just grabbed a book, started reading it. And think about heaven. And it was just startling to get just a little view of what heaven's like. I mean, doesn't tell you much about it. Randy Alcorn wrote a book about it. My dad wrote about heaven, a book about heaven. Wasn't but that thick. See? Much more in the Bible about hell than it is heaven. Isn't that something? Wonder why. Well, we all have our reasons to wonder why. My reasons to wonder why is if you are going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity, you don't need to know anything else. And you can't imagine what it's like. Toby Long, who, a friend of mine for life, we put him in the ocean out there. He'd come to church with us here and got saved. And Toby was like the rest of us growing up together. We didn't have any money. And he lived in a flat in Greenville, second or third story, little apartment, very inexpensive, lived with his little mother. And I'd go over there and visit with him to get him to go play basketball or something. And Miss Long, just a precious little Christian lady, and she had a little cardboard sign, and it had sparklies on it. What do you call those things?
Glitter,
yeah. And they had that on it, and it was in her window over there. No furniture. You could have bought everything they owned for $20. And I never did forget that sign. I said, here's this poor widow woman trying to make it through. And she loves the Lord and trying to raise Toby best she can. Has nothing, no opportunity of getting much. But she had that little card sign in the window. It said, how beautiful heaven must be. I said, there you go. That's one of the reasons God didn't tell you much about it. You'd be jumping in front of a truck next time you got depressed, saying, why stay down here? We're not going to go up there. Okay. We don't even have an inkling of an idea of what God has in store for those who love Him. The Bible says that in those words. Can't even imagine it. How wonderful. I got 10 minutes. Milton, don't you look that watch. I caught him, Linda. Can't get by without Milton. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is where the lamb they've been talking about in the Old Testament as an animal changes to a person. It's not that the lamb changes to a person, you know. It's just that they start calling Jesus the lamb instead of a little pet lamb. Because when you read Isaiah 53, you'll read that he opened not his mouth when they took him to crucify him. You don't call an animal a he, just a pet, right? It's an animal. He opened his mouth and spoke. Animals don't do that. The Jews, of course, have the Old Testament. Isaiah 53, you can read that and obviously tell it's talking about Jesus. I mean, if you handed it to an FBI agent and said, who is this talking about? Who would you arrest on the basis of what this said? He'd just read it and say, well, you'd have to go arrest Jesus Christ. So obvious. But the Jews said, no, that refers to Israel. It doesn't refuse to a person. It's referring to Israel. No, Israel's not a he. Israel doesn't open its mouth. Israel can't forgive sins. Israel didn't die for my sins. Jesus did. So now we've got the lamb is a person. The sacrifice is a person. But what person can be a sacrifice to forgive all those sins we talked about a while ago? Who can qualify for that? John told us in John 1:29, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Who is not an animal? Who is not a nation? Who is a person? So John is pointed in his mouth, said, look, here he comes. Behold, the Lamb of God, he takes away the sin of the world. They were amazed. The next day, John 1:35 tells us, John sees him again and says, behold, the Lamb of God. Not a Lamb of God. Not a lamb who would be sacrificed to God. But behold, the Lamb of God. There he is. This is the only blood that will do to take away the sin of mankind, is the blood of the Lamb of God, whose blood you are under if you've accepted him as Savior, and whose blood I am under because I've accepted him as Savior. And if you aren't covered by the blood, you do that before you leave this building by faith, or you won't see heaven. Acts, get on into the New Testament, 8:35. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. You know the story. Philip's walking along and Ethiopian eunuch comes by in his golden cage. Doesn't say golden, but the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, was like an ambassador for the queen. This wasn't just some guy going to grocery store in his wagon. And he's wealthy, well-positioned, highly educated. How do you know that? Because only one out of 30 could read back then, let alone be riding along reading the Old Testament. And Philip stops him, attaches himself to the wagon and talks to him. And he asked Philip, he said, I'm reading this in Isaiah, and who is this describing? Who is this talking about? I can't figure out who this is. And Philip's a Christian. So Philip said, let me get in there with you and I'll explain it to you. You jump in. They're riding along and he explains the good news that Jesus saves to the Ethiopian eunuch. And the man's a brilliant man anyway, but now he's got the answer. And so he's heard the gospel. So he asked Philip, well, what's to prevent me from getting baptized right now? And as they came upon some water, they got out and they baptized him. And that's where the Presbyterians and the Baptists start their dividing. Presbyterians will sprinkle you. Baptists, they got to get all of you under, and anybody you brought with you. I mean, you're going in the water if you're a Baptist. Right? And the Bible doesn't say, but immersion is probably the best symbol for baptizing, because it symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's the best picture. But little, what was the little girl's name, baby, who we brought in on the hospital? Little Missy. Missy visited with us for a few months. Missy couldn't talk. Missy couldn't do anything. She had so many problems. She couldn't walk. She couldn't dress herself. She couldn't go to the bathroom. She couldn't do anything but lay there or lie there, depending on your education. And she'd come to church. They'd burn her. And she would listen, and she couldn't talk, and she could communicate with one of the ladies that brought her. And the lady came to me and said, "Preacher, Missy wants to get baptized. She had heard us preach and accepted the gospel." And she said she wanted to get baptized. Well, you can't roll Missy out there to the ocean. That'd be the last time you see her. She'd drown if you put her underwater. So we baptized her right there. I became a Presbyterian for a day. Right? Walked over and got one of the roses. I dipped it in the water. Said, "Missy, I baptize you on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. And you're on your way to heaven, honey. And I'll see you there." And she could grunt ever now and then. She's the only one we had in here. We wouldn't talk about you good folks. She's the only one in here that would say amen at every service. She couldn't talk. And they had her back there. Then they put her back here. And she'd hear me preach, and I'd say something she liked. And you'd hear Missy. People didn't know what to do. They didn't know if she'd gone crazy or was yelling out or speaking in tongues or what she was doing. She'd hear something that caught her mind. And that little girl that couldn't move and couldn't talk and couldn't ask a question would acknowledge, "I'm hearing from God. That's God's word." And she'd just holler, "Have I got it?" I say, "Amen, Missy, keep it up. Go ahead. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Is that not what the book says? And nothing in there about stiff upper lip, sit up straight, and don't let anybody know you're in the world. There's not a word about that in the Bible. It's all joy, rejoicing, dancing, making melody, playing good music, loving one another. That's what this book is about. It's a shame the church has forgot that. How happy we could be in America if everybody who names themselves a Christian would just be happy about it. Wouldn't that be something to see? 1 Peter 18:21. He says, "You're not ransomed with silver and gold, but with the blood of Christ." You can't buy your way, work your way, earn your way, give your way to salvation. The only way is through the blood of Christ. And isn't it interesting that the Bible says that he was slain, the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. You wonder if God loves you or not? Did he provide for everybody who ever sinned? Absolutely. Boy, I'm glad I was in that number. So Revelation 5:6 says that the Lamb is enthroned on the throne. The Lamb of God will be enthroned as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, in charge of the entire universe. That's who provides for you, protects you, saves you, shed His blood for you, all because He loved you, and He will later be enthroned on His throne as ruler of the universe. So we say here, and I hope you say, glory to the Lamb of God. There's only one, and He died for you. And if you can't appreciate that, your appreciator is broke. So if you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, don't leave this building without Him. You don't have to come up here, but where you sit, you bow your head as we sing and pray that, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. That's not news to you. And I can't give you the whole list because it would fill up the building and I'd be too ashamed. But today, will you wash me in your blood? Is there room at the cross for me? Is there room for one more to get in? You could come back in the next 10 seconds. Is there room enough for me? I repent. I'm sorry for every sin I ever committed. But I'm going to put my faith in you because you said you paid for my sin if I would just acknowledge you as my Savior. And if you haven't done that today, you do that as we pray. And as we sing, we thank you for coming. Come again next summer, next Sunday. Few of you will be here next summer, but that'd be it. We got loyal people. People come down here, go through the mud, go through the dust, go through the rain, have people laugh at us for what we're doing, wondering why we're here. But we know. And when you know, you know. You know that you know that you know. If you haven't done that, you do that today. Leave here with a smile on your face. Be sure to hug two or three people. And if you notice, I hug about anybody. And I had one man. There's always a grouch in the crowd. You do know that, don't you? The devil will send one grouch. And he was in here one Sunday and said, I notice you only hug the pretty girls. And I said, that's not true. I hugged your wife not 5 minutes ago. So be careful who you're talking to. Okay. So thank you for coming. Come again. Bring somebody with you. Let's fill this place back up like it should be. Because Jesus is coming soon. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is that we know you. And more importantly, that you will know us. And sometimes we forget you, but you never forget us. We're always on your mind. Thank you that the Lamb shed His blood on our behalf. That the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world because you knew what we were going to do. But you made a way out just like you made a way out for Isaac. You made a way out for us, and that's through you. Help us to do thy will, to speak to somebody about coming to church this week, to hand out the little medallions, just do what we have to do to get people in here to listen to the Word of God. It not only helps the saved, but bring the lost that they can be saved as we are. In Christ Jesus' name we pray and thank you and love you. Amen. Yeah.
what I once was. If you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom with each breath.
Victories God has won.